I'm going to put you on hold because Andy Baggerly has just walked in from CSN. And, you know, at CSN Bags with two G's. And there's nobody who knows this stuff better than him. He's on 60 times a day, and he writes blogs, and I love talking with him. So let me put you on hold, and we're going to jump over here to Andy. How are you?
Hey, Marty. Good. How are you?
No, thanks for stopping by. It's a pleasure to, you know, to see you. Tim Lincecum, we've got so many calls about him. What's cooking?
Well, it's interesting. I thought that maybe it would be a difficult decision whether the Giants, you know, put him on the World Series roster or not, both because he hasn't pitched and they haven't needed him, and also, you know, the Royals went mad stealing bases on him. He's not a guy who holds runners very well. You know, Bruce Bochy said he's going to be on this roster, and he does think he's going to pitch and contribute here in this World Series. And, I thought, hey, maybe you could use an extra pair of legs to pinch run for Michael Morse, who we can assume will probably be DH, at least in Kansas City. I think it's one of those deals where you look at Jake Peavy, he had a short start. You look at Vogelsong, he had a short start, and they like Petit in the role he's in. But, if you have a pitcher get knocked out early 2 days in a row, you can't just throw Petit out there whenever you darn well feel like it. Yeah. So I think they're looking to cover innings here, and they feel like Lincecum's their next best option to do that.
You know, the age of the starting pitching was a big issue for me going into this thing because they go through the whole month of October with these guys. They haven't overworked them. You know, the older folks, and Peavy not that old, but Hudson and Vogelsong, they have not been overworked. They may not have gone as far as they wanted, but doesn't look like a fatigue factor. This is very big to me because they may only need him one time again and maybe Peavy a couple of times.
Yeah, and they've gotten a little bit fortunate that they haven't had to use guys on short rest. You haven't seen any starting pitchers used in relief. We even saw that in 2010 when Bochy used Bumgarner and Lincecum, who's a starting pitcher at the time, in relief of Jonathan Sanchez in Game 6, I want to say, in Philly. So we haven't seen any of that. Nobody's gone on short rest. And here they are. They entered as the wild card. And that's the team that's supposed to really get their pitching stretched. And, they didn't win the one time they could start Bumgarner against the Washington Nationals. But, here they enter. Winning Game 5 was huge because that allows them to start Bumgarner in Game 1. That's an option that wouldn't have been available to them if they had to go back to St. Louis. It's one of those deals where you just look at the health of the staff and they feel like it's pretty good right now.
The mosaic is fitting together. The tiles are fitting together. Because you do have, if you had to use Peavy in game six, you couldn't bring him back. And there was even argument, maybe, Bumgarner's thrown 250 innings. Maybe let Bumgarner goes 2-6. So if you need him on the road, he goes 2-6. Was that ever considered, you think?
Well, I think you just go with the guy who was in game one. You know, that's your guy. I mean, Bumgarner won the winner-go-home game in Pittsburgh. And I really thought the way Peavy was pitching in September that you could make an argument that Peavy could have pitched that game. And that was really no discussion whatsoever. Madison is their number one guy. He's the MVP of the NLCS. I think you get him in there to try to set a tone, and that's what he's going to do.
All right. Lineup changes. Now they go to Kansas City. There is a DH. That will be Morse. Is that understood?
Bochy said he wasn't going to really make anything final until they get to Kansas City. Okay. I have to believe that's the way that they're going to lean, especially when they face or they have Shields in the first game.
Has Kansas City announced their rotation at all?
Yeah, they got Shields and then Yordano Ventura in the first two. That's my understanding. So, okay. But it's not like the Giants have another lefty bat that they could, wedge in there against a right-handed starter. So I think you'll probably see Morse and another guy's a power threat. And then in terms of how they want to order those guys, well, it does make things a little more fluid. You could put Crawford in the nine hole. I would imagine that may be where he goes. And then maybe you could slide Morse in. Maybe between Belt and Pence or something like that, but that's something that they'll figure out when they get there.
I think it's going to be a heck of a series. They haven't lost a game yet, Kansas City. I mean, they're 8-0 in this postseason. They've won all these extra inning games with home runs. They put pressure. They've got this great bullpen, and the starting pitching not so good. But this is they're better than the Cardinals. I really think the Cardinals were just at a disadvantage without Molina, without Wainwright being healthy, without Waka. Washington was still, I thought, the best team starting pitching-wise. The Giants just beat them. And Pittsburgh, they had the wrong pitcher going. This looks like the second-best team.
I think the Royals have the best bullpen that the Giants will see all October. I think that they are worlds better in terms of matching up than the Texas Rangers or Detroit Tigers were, because those teams looked like American League teams that were fishes out of water when they played in NL ballparks. You saw them try to force Vladimir Guerrero get his bat in the lineup, make him play right field, and that was a disaster, you remember, in 2010.
Yeah.
The Royals don't have that problem. I mean, they step into a National League team, and they wear those clothes very well. They look like a National League team.
What do they do with Billy Butler?
Well, good question. I'm not sure. They've got Hosmer, who plays first base, and so there's really no other place you can stick him. That may be the big sort of poll tax that they pay playing in an NL park. But you know, you'd rather hide a strength than have a weakness be exposed.
Yeah, boy, this bullpen. All right, so I'm the matchup guy. You know, I'm looking at Choate. I'm looking at Gonzalez. I'm looking at Jerry Blevins. I'm looking at Finnegan. I'm looking at Danny Duffy. Is Danny Duffy healthy? Is he going to be on this? Is he going to be a part of this thing?
You know, I'm not sure. I haven't checked in with him. He obviously looked really good early in the year, but then he did deal with some shoulder issues. So I'm not quite sure what their roster is going to look like. You know, I just know that you're going to see a lot of power, a lot of power stuff, a lot of power arms, and you know, probably the best closer that you've got going right now in Holland. I mean, he really throws some thunder.
Davis is trouble.
And then Davis, the lefty, is probably the best left or righty. He's probably one of the best right-handed setup men that you'll see. So
yeah, there's no lefty unless Finnegan or Duffy get in. I'm telling you, this is going to be the thing. The Giants are loaded with left-handed hitters. This has been the greatest. If you had to say, please give me a gift, okay, you'll face one left-handed starter in the playoffs. That's Gio Gonzalez. Really, if you had to ask for a gift, that'd be the gift you got.
Well, yeah, and it keeps
on giving.
You can go all the way back, and you know, we talk about this narrative that the Giants are lucky, and I think that it's overblown a bit because they do make a lot of their own luck. They do force a lot of teams to make mistakes by the way they play. But you do look at little things that sort of work in your favor. And I'll go back to game 161 between the Diamondbacks and Cardinals. Okay. If the Diamondbacks beat the Cardinals, then the Cardinals clinch and the Pirates scratch Gerrit Cole because they can't win the division now in a game 162. And maybe the Giants have to beat Gerrit Cole instead of Edinson Volquez. And maybe this whole ride stops right there. And you never know. You can never predict.
Funny?
But a lot of things have lined up very well for the Giants. The fact that they haven't had to face a lot of left-handed starting pitching. Because as you remember, the Tigers in 2012, they weren't so great against lefties. Prince Fielder was totally neutralized. And the Giants never, ever in a million years would have started Barry Zito in Game 1 and Bumgarner, who was flagging at the time, in Game 2. They had to go that way because they got, you know, stretched to the max by the Cardinals. And then that ended up being perfect for the Giants.
I said that to Brian Sabian before the World Series began. Just happened to say, you know, your pitching doesn't seem to be lined up. You got Zito, and he says, just watch.
Yeah.
And they knew that the Tigers had trouble with lefties. Boy, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. Of the 10, 12, 14, this one, the buzz is even bigger, I think.
Well, you know what? It's what was so amazing about that clincher to me, Marty, is that you know, we've already seen so many incredible things. And at some point, is there some sort of, you know, ennui that sets in or you start thinking, oh, they're there again. That's great. Or they're in the World Series again. The way they won that last game, Morse, you know, coming off the bench when he basically had faced, you know, kids at Papago Park a week earlier. And
he had faced Henry Schulman's son pitching.
He might have. And then Ishikawa, of course, what a tremendous story. And for them to be the ones to do it in that fashion, you know, it was totally, okay, hey, if you're not on board yet, you better get on board because this is pretty magical.
Well, the home run. It's like home runs talk. And the walk-off home run, you know, and the way it happened, who it was, at home, and for the crowd to be into it. I think the crowd's made a difference. I think the crowd has gotten to people.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think that, you know, Bruce Bochy said it very well. He said, you know, we know how lucky we are to have that kind of crowd support every day.
It's good.
And, you know, you never really feel like you're out of a game because, you know, all it takes is one base hit or even a two-out walk, and the crowd really starts to stir and get excited, and I think that translates to the players.
So here we go through this whole season of arguing Blanco this, trade this guy, Petit, blah, 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 who's pitching and this and that. Just get in. Just get in. Get your 88 wins and get in, and let's see what happens. Isn't that funny?
It is. You know,
it's funny.
I'll tell you what, one other thing that is kind of becoming clear to me, because we talk about it all during the regular season. It's time to get Buster out from behind the plate. It's time to put him at third base. He played shortstop in college. Oh, maybe he can play left field, first base, wherever. You can get more homers, get a few more RBIs out of him. You know what? You see how valuable he is behind the plate this time of year because he's really the common thread. Bumgarner's been there for all three, but we're not dealing with a Cy Young-level Lincecum anymore. Matt Cain isn't there. I mean, even on the pitching staff, there's been a lot of turnover now between these three World Series teams. The bullpen has matched up very well. There's been some continuity there. Whole different lineup. But the only starting player, position player, from all three World Series teams is Buster Posey. And I think we're finding out just why the Giants are keeping him behind the plate and have no thoughts of moving him, and why he wants to stay there, because you know his calming influence really is huge. It's there's no quantifying it.
What fun! Hey, Andy, thanks so much. When do you head for Kansas City?
Tomorrow at noon, Marty. I'm
Kansas
on a nonstop
City,
flight.
Here we come.
I'm going to get some Oklahoma Joes and and settle and watch some pretty good baseball, I think.
Oh, great! It's a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Congratulations on on covering a good season. It's just fun to cover a good season. They're all great season, but this one, you got so many twists and turns, and it's fun to cover it.
Well, it's a mosaic, Marty, as you know.
As I say, that's baseball.
That's baseball.
And we'll end it with that. All right, Andy, thanks again.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, we'll take a very quick break. If you're on the board, we'll get you in right here at KMBR 680, the sports leader.